Well, in July of 2010, so a few months after the earthquake, a census was conducted on the camp. And at that time, there were 1,555 camps. And at the end of December of 2012, so just a few weeks ago, there were 450 camps remaining. So over two-thirds of the camps have basically disappeared since the first census that took place in July 2010.
And now the people who have left the camps, have they all returned to their home areas, or are they still living in other areas in Port-au-Prince?
Well, it's hard to say exactly where everyone went back, but in the few months after the first census, a lot of people left spontaneously in many cases after they sort of refixed their houses or moved in with family. In other cases, there's been what we refer to as forced eviction, so landowners that forcefully moved people out of their property. But beyond that, over the past couple of years, there's also been a lot of construction, both by the international community as well as by individuals themselves through remittances from the diaspora and other means. And also in the past year and a bit, there's been important what we refer to as cash grant rental subsidies. So basically international organizations paying rent for IDPs living in camps to relocate back into their neighborhoods of return.
How would you describe the situation now? Is this a success in your words, or what are the major needs?
Well, the major needs right now is, of course, after 3 years living in camps, it's very difficult for people to continue living in those camps because services have decreased significantly in the camps for lack of funding. They're generally really quite insecure areas because in many cases there are gangs, there's other types of criminal activity. Police, of course, cannot be present in 450 camps, so people are left to themselves in many cases. So living in camps is not ideal, and 350,000 people is not a good number, despite the fact that it's reduced so significantly. So right now, the priority is really to keep pushing to get people to move out of camps because it's unsustainable for them to continue living in such bad conditions.
Can you describe what it's like in the camps?
So IOM is responsible for camp coordination, camp management. And, of course, we have a permanent presence in the largest camp. However, there are also many very small camps. In some cases, it's 2 families, 10 families, 20 families, which represents probably 75% of the camps overall. So it's very hard to have a thorough visibility on those camps, but essentially, they're all in a very bad state because the people live under tarps, so plastic sheeting, that deteriorate after a 6-month exposure to sun and other elements. So it's a constant need to replace those tarps, otherwise they decompose and people are find themselves living under tarps that have holes in them and that they're exposed to rain and other elements. So yes, the conditions right now in the camps have been deteriorating significantly, I'd say, since August 2011, when a lot of the funding has come to a stop or reduced significantly.
Now, you just mentioned that funding came to a halt. Has IOM launched an appeal?
Yes, appeal for maintenance of basic services in camps is systematically asked year after year. However, right now, despite the request for funding, there's increased reluctance in providing funding for support to camps, although some donors are still there to support that, but of course, priority is shifting to other approaches. But as I said, there's still 350,000 people living in camps, and it's not an easy solution with limited funding to continue supporting them effectively.